Psalm 13. You know, our Sunday morning crowds are getting back up to where it ought to be, close to where it used to be. But every day, I open the paper, and it's National Bad News Day. Every day. They'll have about two lines of local news. The rest of it is National Bad News Day. Psalm 13. And so, I try not to read the paper. If it says New York Times, Los Angeles Times, most anything, really. If it's national, I skip right over. I try to find local news, and you can't only find it anymore. The obituary is about the only thing that's left. There used to be where you could write letters to the editor. And I've done that and got a lot of good feedback. But since this paper went bankrupt and the other paper bought it, there's no news, local news anymore. And so every day we have to fight bad news. Every day. You turn on TV, you got to fight bad news every day. And I got thinking about the original church and the original believers who faced the lions, were crucified upside down, burned at the stake, ripped apart by horses, gutted, beheaded. And you'll never read in the scriptures anywhere where any of them denied the faith. But the age we live in, we can't hardly get anybody to acknowledge the faith in public or even in worship. It's hard to get people to acknowledge. But as I read the Bible, especially here in Psalm 13, I have to remind myself the Bible, it is a supernatural book. It's supernatural. Sent by a supernatural God who guided supernaturally the men's hands that penned it down. Supernatural. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Supernatural. But at the same time, you don't want to forget that these people, excuse me, were natural people.
Right.
They had flesh and bones just like you, and blood just like you, and they had families just like we do. They had good days. They had bad days. And the Apostle Paul said all these things in the Old Testament was written for our examples. Somebody was talking about kids not knowing history the other day. Young people, not just kids, but young people, people 40 or less, don't know history. The only history they know is the history that started with them. Really? Because they've not been taught history, and they haven't been taught to honor history. Now, in a way, the Bible is a history book. And if you're going to be a good Christian, you're going to read the Bible. If you read the Bible, you're going to find some good examples in back, way back in history.
Yes.
That will help you.
Yes.
If your only help comes across the TV or the internet or the radio, or to Twitter, or Instagram, or Facebook, if that's the only help you're going to get, you're going to be in bad shape.
Right.
Because, see, that's not supernatural.
Yeah.
That's natural. And the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit.
Right.
1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man understands not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned, understood. You got to know the Spirit to know what the book means. So I read the Bible, especially in Psalms, and there's been times in my life to where I was felt like I was about that high or, you know, lower than dirt, my Christian life. There's been times where we felt deserted, we have felt betrayed, we have felt downtrodden, we have felt persecuted. we have felt misunderstood. And if you will just read the Bible, you'll find a supernatural experience through a person that was inspired supernaturally to write down exactly what you need.
Amen.
It's a supernatural book. And sometimes I'll quote the Bible to people, like we're going to talk about David tonight, and write that down, like David. And I'll quote the Bible, I'll tell people a Bible example or something. They'll say, well, that was way back then. And I'm trying to tell them, yes, but God allowed that for your good.
Absolutely.
And then other people, they'll say, well, why am I going through what I'm going through? And I said, well, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, it's for others' good that you're going through what you're going through. There's somebody going to come behind you that needs your experience that you just went through.
Amen.
That's why I talked about the other week. You know, I said that old man crossed that wide creek. When he got on the other side, he started building a bridge. And the man that lived on the other side said, why are you building a bridge? You're already across. He said, I'm building it for the next one.
Yes.
And that's what our lives are supposed to be like. David, his experiences was for me,
the next one,
and for you, see. So when you read the Bible, it's not just a storybook. It's just not just a book of beautiful poems and psalms and proverbs and wisdom sayings, but it's an actual, it's not in picture form, it's in word form. It's an actual what you need book because somebody else needed it because they were in the same position you are, and God allowed them to go through it so that you could get across a little bit easier. Amen?
Amen.
And so think about that while we read Psalm. It's a real man writing this book with real experiences. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. In other words, I'm about to die. You got to do something. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me.
Amen.
Now here's a real man going through a real problem. And by the way, if you think Bible characters had it made, if you think you're having it hard, let me tell you something. David was betrayed by his own son. David was run out of town by his own son and his son's army hunting him down to kill him. David was betrayed by his own king who he loved and served and honored. And that man sent an army to chase him down to kill him. He spent more time running and hiding in caves than he did anything else. Though he was a mighty man of valor, though he's a great man, he was a great warrior and all these things, God allowed David to get in this position that he would say, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? It felt like your prayer just wasn't going through.
Yes.
This wasn't going through. And you say, Lord, are you there? Lord, are you there? Well, I got down so low one day, I went out in the woods and I stopped over here on White Street and there's a big water tank there and it's the closest thing I could find to any woods at the time. And I was weeping and crying and I pulled up in that little ball field there and I got out of my car and I ran over there in that water tank and those trees over there. And I know people probably thought that there was a crazy man over there because I was weeping and I was crying and I was praying and I said, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Elisha? Where is the God of Abraham and Jacob? Where are you, God? And I'm sure all those neighbors around there thought I was a crazy man. And I was just weeping and crying. I stayed back there about an hour on my face in those woods. And somebody probably thought I was a drunk or a drug addict or something until God finally touched me. He finally touched me. Now, I'm not saying my problem was fixed. It wasn't. Yeah, no, it was not. But God touched me. He let me know He's still there.
Amen.
And that's the way David felt that day. Boy, you go down to the cemetery and you put one of your loved ones in that cold, dark ground. And you look up and you say, God, where are you, God? God, I need a touch. I need to know you're still there, Lord. Or maybe your best friend turns against you and betrays you and you go in your room. You say, God, I thought they cared. I really thought they'd be there for the rest of my life. I've always been there for them and now look what they've done to me. Or maybe some sickness or some disease comes on you, you know, and you pray and you want to be healed and healing doesn't come and you get thinking, well, God's not even hearing my prayer. Well, I've got news for you. We've all been there.
Yes.
Amen.
If you're not a kid, if you're over 15 or 16 years old, I guarantee you've been in anguish just like that. Now, here's David's concern. His concern was, verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? In other words, how long do I have to guide myself, God? How long shall I take counsel in my own soul? Having sorrow in my heart daily. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Not only did he feel forgotten, but he felt frustrated. God, these people are attacking me. God, how long are you going to let these people do this to me? Now, if you've never felt that, I tell you what you need to do. You need to surrender to preach. And get you a church full of Baptists. And it won't be long. The one that said, the one that says I'll be the last one out the door, Pastor, that'll be the first one to turn on you.
Amen.
That'll be the first one to turn on you. The one that says, I got your back. He didn't tell you it was to talk about you behind your back. David felt frustrated. He felt forgotten. He thought that he was running and God had forgotten him. He thought that God had allowed his enemies to overtake him and be exalted above him. Now, he was just looking at that day. He didn't know what was going to happen later. He didn't know he was going to get it all back. He didn't know he was going to be back on the throne. He didn't know they were going to be singing his praises again and saying he's the greatest king in the world. All he saw was today.
Yeah.
And that's all we see. We see today. Like David, we get discouraged. Like David, we get downtrodden. Like David, we get forgotten. Like David, we get frustrated. But you know, most Baptists would quit right there. I've seen them. I've seen them, and I've seen them, and I've seen them, and I've seen them, and I've seen them. And they'll get frustrated, and they'll say, God, have you forgotten me? God, have you let my enemies have their way? And I tell you what, they ain't no need to go to church. I'll just quit church. And then pretty soon, they ain't no reading the Bible. I'll just quit reading the Bible. And then pretty soon, they'll say, no need to pray. I'm not getting my prayers answered. And then pretty soon, they're worse off than they were before they left. Let me tell you something. We've all felt forgotten.
Yes.
By God. We've all felt frustrated. Why do you think it's called faith?
Yes.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Right.
You don't have it. You hope for it. The evidence of things not seen. That's why it's called faith. Amen. But he felt frustrated. So I want you to see, he didn't quit. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't throw his book. I've done it. I went home on Sunday night and mad at my church and discouraged at people, you know, and people backbiting you and everything, you know, and take my Bible and just throw it on the shelf and I'll say, I won't preach anymore in his name. I'm quitting. That's it. I'm not going to do it again. And it usually happens on a Sunday night. Every preacher has to get right with God every Monday morning because we quit every Sunday night. Amen. But you know what? David didn't quit. And by the way, if you really want to hear, you can't quit. He won't let you quit. He's not going to let you go. Amen. You may feel like he let you go, but he hadn't let you go. That's you thinking, not him thinking. Amen. He just got you where you need to be so you'll cry out. Amen. Look at verse 3 and 4. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. David didn't quit. He called for help. But you know why he called for help? He felt like a failure. He felt just like a failure. He felt like he had failed God somehow, so now God wasn't hearing him. And then he's praying. He's saying, but God, don't you forget me, because listen, my enemy will say, I have prevailed against him. And what he was saying was, God, you're the one that anointed me king. You're the one that declared that I'm yours. You're the one that led me. You're the one that's taking care of me. You're the one that made me the great warrior and the great king. And Lord, if you don't hear my prayer, my enemy's going to say, we have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. I'm going to tell you something. If you think that as a Christian you don't have any enemies, you need to wake up and smell the roses.
Yes.
And if you think people wouldn't rejoice to see you fall, they'll cast a party if you fall.
Yes.
Hey, they'll have a big party. They'll say, did you hear? Get over here. Let's celebrate.
Amen.
I knew he would. I knew it. I knew he was a hypocrite. I knew he wasn't real. I knew she was going to do it. Woo! Hey, there's something to celebrate. There was a thorn in my side down there at the job. Amen. They would. They'd rejoice. And that's what David is doing. He's praying and he is reminding God what's going to happen if God doesn't rescue him.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll pray and say, God, you can't leave me like this. God, if you leave me like this, my enemies and your enemies, because my enemies are your enemies.
Yeah.
And they're going to rejoice and they're going to say that you're not real, God, and that you can't take care of your own. And they're going to say they knew it was all fake anyway. God, you can't let this happen. He felt like a failure and he called for help. You know, the worst sin in the world is called pride.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Pride will send more people to hell than all the alcohol, all the drugs, all the fornication, all the homosexuality, all the perversion. Pride will send more people to hell. Well, why you say that, preacher? Well, I can do this. That's what pride says. Pride says, I got this. I can do this. And you know what the devil says? I got you. Cause you can't do this. And you ain't nothing but a ball of mud. And if God took his hand off you, you'd curse him to his face. David felt like a failure, but he didn't stop. He prayed for help.
Amen.
Why don't people ask for help?
Right.
That's it. I see people struggling all the time and I wonder, why don't you just ask for help? Why don't you let the Lord help you? I'm going to help you all right now and turn this thermostat down to the degrees. Just ask for help. Listen. You know why people don't go to Victory in Jesus type stuff? Pride. They've lost their family, lost his wife or husband, lost their children, lost their job, lost their home. They're living in the back seat of a car or under a tree somewhere out in the woods, and they still refuse to admit that they're sinners and they need some help.
Yeah.
I've had a man come to this church and walk out several times and say, Pastor, I love your preaching. I love this church. I love these people. I feel more at home here than I do anywhere in the world. I love the Bible studies. And said, and so pray for me that I'll get saved. And I said, well, if you love all this stuff, why don't you just ask him to save you? He said, there's got to be more to it than that. And he tells me that every time. I said, well, then the Bible's a lie. Why do you like it? It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, that's too easy. I said, then the Bible's a lie, because the Bible says that except you become as a little child, you'll in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, but there's got to be more to it than that. I said, there's no more to it than that. All you got to do is step toward him by faith and ask him to save you. Will you pray for me? Every time. He's done that to me 3 or 4 times. Wonderful man. You could lay $1,000 bill here and turn out lights and he wouldn't touch it. Hard working man, intelligent man. But his problem is he's trying to add something to it that he could do.
Yeah.
There's gotta be something that I can do to save me. That's pride. Instead of just admitting he's in trouble, he needs some help, and say, God, help me, I'm a sinner, I need salvation. God would save him right then. He wouldn't have to pray. You ain't got to pray a big, long prayer. Just look up and say, Lord, help. And in your heart and in your mind and you receive Christ, Lord, help. And he'll save you just like that. But see, pride says, no, there's got to be more to it than that. Something that I've got to add something to it. I've got to do something. And then other people, they get saved, they make a profession of faith, and then you see them 2 or 3 years later, and they ain't living for God, and they're living like the world, look like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world. And you say, what happened to you, brother? And they'll say, I lost my faith. How in the world did you lose something that you didn't get? Somebody, God gave you that. God gives you the faith. You can't lose something he gives you. I said, how long is everlasting life? He said, forever. I said, well, when did you cut that off? How do you cut that off?
Right.
From everlasting life to your 2 years of professed Christianity. And they'll say, well, I know that, but I got to live it. I said, you'll never live it? That's why you need a Savior. Yeah, but I sinned. I said, all have.
Amen.
So look, why don't you just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I have sinned, help me, and God will put you back in fellowship. He hadn't deserted you, he's still there. You're the one that's doubting him, he ain't doubting you. You need to turn to him and let him fix it. And David was at that spot. His sword wasn't going to do him any good. A fast chariot wasn't going to do him any good. His enemies had taken counsel against him. They thought they had him. They thought that this is the end of David. And then David prayed and he said, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes. Put that spirit back in me. Let me see things spiritually again. He said, because if you don't, God, I'm going to die. I'm just about to die. You ever felt like that? Lord, if you don't do something, I'm going to die. And he said, Lord, you don't want that to happen, because if that happens, your enemies who are my enemies are going to say, see there, God ain't real. All that stuff David talked about was a lie. He was a hypocrite. And by the way, he was sometimes a hypocrite. But he felt like a failure. So he called for help. Now look at verse 5 and 6. But I have trusted in thy mercy, he said, while he's praying now. But I have trusted in thy mercy. Boy, I like that.
Amen.
I don't want justice, I want mercy.
Amen.
These people carrying these signs, wanting justice, I want to look at them and say, you're an idiot.
Yep.
You don't want what you deserve. No, you're going to die and go to hell. You better be looking for some mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If I stood in front of a judge, I'd never say, yeah, I demand my rights. I'd say, I'm asking for mercy.
Yes.
I'm throwing myself at the foot of the court. have mercy on me.
Yes.
Amen. He said, I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He said, it looks real bad right now, but my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He said, I will sing unto the Lord. Well, he's not singing right now. He's praying. Old flesh ain't got much to sing about. He's in trial and tribulation, being attacked. He's down at the bottom. I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, number one, like David, I said like David was the name of this. Like David, we need to have a concern. And like David, we need to ask for help. And then like David, we've got to have confidence in God. We've got to have faith that God hears us. And then when we do that, we've got to live by faith. David had no sight that he was going to be rewarded or rescued. Didn't look good. But he said, verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. And then he looks to the future. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Did you know he had faith in God's mercy, he says? I have faith God will have mercy on me. He's had it so much already.
Yes.
Why would he quit now?
Right.
I mean, if I got what I deserve, if I got justice, I'd already be dead and in hell. Amen. And if I got justice, sorry Christian as I've been, I'd already been cast off. But thank God he's had mercy on me. And mercy and mercy. And then David also had faith in God's salvation. What he was saying here is, God, you're going to save me from this mess. I'm about to die if you don't do something, but I believe you're going to do something. He said he had faith in God's salvation. Now, you know what that means? He got to the end of his rope, and there was nothing else for him to have faith in. And if he was going to have salvation, it was going to have to be through God.
Yes.
So he said, I've got faith in God's salvation. I've made a mess out of it. I'm hiding out in this cave. I'm over here in the woods. I'm sleeping in the ditch. But thank God I've got faith that God will save me in the end, because it's God's salvation. It's not my salvation. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. Now, I'll never be as good a Christian as I want to be. And you won't either. I'm going to try. And every time I fall, I'm going to get back up. And I'm going to never stop looking up. I'll never stop looking up. But I realized a long time ago, I can't help God with my salvation. I can't help him. Brother Guy, it's God's salvation, not mine.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have salvation. I have God's salvation. He put that on me. He's going to live forever, so my salvation is going to live forever. So that means I get to live forever too in God's salvation. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. And then not only that, I want you to notice the last part of that. I'm about through. He said, I'll sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me.
Yes.
Now, like David, I can have confidence in God and his mercy and his salvation. But not only that, I can have faith that God's going to deal bountifully with me. You know what that means? Can I put that in Lancaster English? God's going to have a whole bunch.
Yeah.
He's going to have a whole bunch. Amen. God's going to give me a whole bunch. A heap. The black folks used to say live in large.
Yeah.
They live in large. They got a lot of stuff, a lot of property. They live in large. And God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, all the gold and the silver in the hills. He's got more bounty than I could ever use, and God will deal bountifully with me, if not in this life, the next one to come. I'm going to be wearing a crown and a robe and walking on streets of gold and walking through those gates of pearl, that pearl so big they bore a hole. rolled through it, we walked through it, and all those walls were covered with precious jewels and rocks and everything, and the sun never goes down, and the water never runs out nor gets warm. I'm going to be drinking from the fountain that flows from the throne of God. I'm going to be eating of the 12 fruits of the 12 trees in a, hey, listen, the Bible says that those leaves bring my healing and the fruit brings everlasting life. That's going to be my hamburger, my cheeseburger, my steak, my meatloaf. That's going to be my pork chop. That's going to be my white bread, my wheat bread. That's going to be my cheese. That's going to be whatever I need. It's all coming out of that fruit. And there's so much of it up there, it'll never run out. Is that not bountiful? Amen. Amen. And we worry about this little stuff down here.
Yeah.
But like David, I've got faith in God's bounty. God's blessings will never run out.
Amen.
Now, if you're depending on me, I'll run out of money or something, but God will never run out. It's bountiful. Brother Dave, he ain't never going to quit blessing because his blesser is never going to run out.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So, in this psalm, it's easy for me to see how we can be like David.
Yes.
We've been hurt. We've been discouraged. We've been betrayed. We've been downtrodden. We've thought God wasn't hearing us anymore sometimes, but then we cried out. And God gave us the confidence, just like David, to live by faith. I wish I could sing. I'd sing that song, Living by Faith.
Amen.
Now, in Jesus above. Trust and confide. And that ain't in our new songbook, is it? Is that in our new songbook? I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Huh? Well, we'll have to sing that sometime. But I've got the same God David had, just like David. I have the same problems David had. But I've got the same grace he had, and I've got the same mercy he had, and I've got the same bounty he had, because I've got the same Father that he had.
Thank you, Lord.
So if God brought David and others through it, he can bring us through it too.
That's right.
You know, COVID is about that high on God's scale.
Yeah.
It's right next door to flu.
Yeah.
Or sinus infection. Cancer's not much higher than that. People act like God's running out of resources. That like God's not in the healing business anymore. That like God's not in the protection business anymore. He puts a hedge about us and he protects us. And then worse comes to worse. If I do get sick and end up in the hospital, he'll attend to me while I'm there. He'll minister to me while I'm there. And then if worst of worst happens and I give up the ghost and take that last breath, I'll close my eyes and I'll wake up in glory.
Yes.
That's called living by faith.
Yes.
If my friends leave me, he's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. If I lost my wife and my children, he's promised he'd go with me to the end of the age.
Yes.
So why shouldn't I look at this book and say, I'm just like David.
Amen.
Now we're going to get out of here tonight. We're going to listen tomorrow and rest of this week before Sunday. The old devil's going to throw everything he can at us.
Yeah.
And go open that paper every day. It's going to be bad news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And don't wait for the election to be over. Things going to be better. It's not going to get any better.
Yeah.
Until the trumpet sounds. He's on his way.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for him. But you're going, here's what you're going to have to do. Just like David, you're going to have to turn to the Lord, admit you need help, and then trust him to help you.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant word.
Yes.
I pray tonight, God, you'd help us take this stuff to heart. God, you've brought us through so many things. There were times in our Christian life where we just thought we wouldn't make it. God, there's been times in our fleshly life where we thought we couldn't make another day. But we're here.
Thank you, Lord.
And you still bless us.
Yes. Thank you.
Forgive us, Lord, for doubting you. Forgive us. And remind us where you brought us from, and then remind us why you brought us from there,
yes,
that you might get the glory.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And remind us, Lord, that every day that we go through trial and tribulation, it's not only for our good, but for it's for your glory, that others might see Christ in us. And they'll say, I need some of that.
Yes.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing song number
3-8. Higher Ground, 3-8.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fear dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high.